Accession number 10413, reel 2.
Mr. George South, Reel 2. What about physical training or route marches, any of that?
Physical training, we had physical training every day. For about 3/4 of an hour, every morning. Route marches didn't come into it till we'd passed out. As being capable of being soldiers.
What was the PT like? What sort of routines were they using?
PT, I enjoyed PT. It just depended on PT instructor that you got with. Because you were raw recruits, you just take the mickey out of you for a lot. You know, people that had never been active. Used to be a bit slow on one or two little things, so I used to get a dig in the ribs as I went by. And I had a friend, 6'2", in his stocking feet. And before he came into our squad, he was took her out at a dance hall in Middlesbrough. And this little PTI thumped him in the ribs one day. Then, of course, he was going to thump him back. And this little PTI told him to come back. 7 o'clock that night. Put the gloves on. There was only one bat. My 6'2" friend was carried out. This PTI used to fight at St. James's, the St. James's Hall, where the boxing was in them days, and the wrestling. My voice is going as well. But these are things that used to happen, because you were a recruit, and the PTIs and all these people were old soldiers. If they could take the mickey out of you, they would.
What about weapons training? You've talked about rifle drill. Would you do actual weapons training in, you know, the theory and practice of it?
Well, on the afternoon, you'd go on to weapon training. Learn, in them days, just the rifle and machine gun.
How would they go about it?
But at that particular time, they'd withdrawn the Lewis gun and them, because the new Bren gun was coming out. So you learned from the rifle, first of all, how to take it to pieces, how to assemble it, how to clean it, how to pull it through with the old pull through and the 4x2, the steel gauze. And then after you'd learned that, you would taught aiming at a target.
How did it try and get you to do that?
Well, they used to have a tripod that they used to fix your rifle on, and a landscape target. And they used to get you to aim at a target, at something on the landscape target. And they would check it. If it wasn't right, they would knock your rifle off until you did get onto the target.
What did they reckon the secret was?
Well, I never heard any secret. I don't think there is a secret. because people have different, what is it they call it, eyesight is different in everybody. So where you could probably get on the target straight away if you knew what the target was, you know, you'll get somebody else that would be firing right, firing left. It was something, I've done it myself, I've played hell many times with a recruit, but it's something that it comes natural.
What about the Bren? Did you get any training in the Bren at the time?
Later on we got we were introduced to the Bren gun.
Did you get to fire the rifle during your basic training? Or?
Oh yes, after we'd learned aiming and firing an empty rifle, we went on to the 30 yards 2-2 range, fired the 2-2s. Then we were introduced to the Bren. And so your routine all the week was drill, weapon training, rifle drill, shooting, PT. It was the same every week. It varied, you know. You go out maybe this week, drill first thing in the morning. Next week it'd be rifle drill first thing in the morning and drill in the afternoon, you know.
What about firing the real thing? Besides the two.
Well, I'd been in the army about 3 weeks, I think. 3 months. Or getting on for 3 months, yeah. When we went on to the Ponteland Ranges with live 303 ammunition. Once we got under the range, we used to go on once a week, firing from different, you know, 200 yards this week, 300 yards next week, 400 yards next week, building up, snap shooting, rapid fire, single shot.
How did you cope with those things? Were you all right?
Well, I was a good shot.
Did you get your marksman?
Yes. I won a medal for the 2-2 ranges while I was a recruit, being the best shot in the squad.
Had you had any shooting before you joined the army, or was it just natural and with the training?
Just natural. Mm-hmm.
What about the other weapons that come to mind, the bayonet, hand grenades?
Well, you would throw that in weapon training, how to fix bayonets and unfixed bayonets. You learned on rifle drill. Because you have to take three smart paces forward.
What about actually practicing bayonet fighting?
And then that came in your weapon training. Standing dummies, strike, withdraw, carry on, and all that all came in your basic training.
What about any tactical training or anything like that?
Well, after we'd passed out.
That's after your basic training, then, was it?
After you passed out, that was it, about 4 months. You did this special parade, drill, rifle drill, weapon training, shooting, and you were past proficient. Then you went on to field tactics, arrowheads, V-shapes, all this.
What were they, sorry?
Arrowheads, arrow, V-shaped.
What were the purposes of those formations?
Well, so that everybody doesn't walk in a bunch. Only takes one shell to kill the lot of you. One shell only kills one of you. Because you're in extended order.
Did you practice making attacks? And?
Oh, you practice making attacks. But there were only short things up.
What about defensive field work? You know, how to make a slit trench or...
Well, you were taught that, but all that came under weapon training. And that. You were taught how to make a fire step, parapet. You were taught all that.
What about anti-gas? Were you given any gas training then?
No, not at the depot. It came in weapon training, talked about it. Same as the Mills grenade, the pineapple. You did that.
Well, did you have any special training at all? Signals, scouting, anything like that?
Not at the depot.
Any educational?
Yes. You had to sit, you were forced to sit for your third class education.
What did that involve?
A little bit of history about the regiment and any other topic the taught at that time. Everybody must sit for that. And then once you got your third, you went for your second. Now, when you got your second, you received an increment in pay for being the hold of a second degree. Now, that was hard out. You did everything in that. English, mental arithmetic, history. And sometimes you were given a book, such as my book was 39 Steps. And I got a questionnaire of the 39 steps which I had to answer.
But you passed that as well?
And I'll pass that.
Would everyone pass that? It sounds like most people would pass
yes.
the first, but would everyone pass the second?
Well, there'd be very few that didn't, unless they were too illiterate, which you did get a lot of literacy. But I think it was 6 months a day, and 6 months a day in them days was a lot of money. And then you could go for your first class. If you wanted promotion.
This would be after the basic training, though.
Oh, yes, this was once you went to a unit.
So, might as well carry on. The first class, what
the first that? Class was what was. It was equivalent to, in those days, the matric. And if you wanted any promotion in the regular army in them days, you could get promotion. Lance Corporal. But if you wanted to be a sergeant or above, you must have your first class education, which is when the war broke out, that went out the window, but in peacetime. But anyhow, at the end of...
Did you think your training was relevant, the basic, you know, the course that you did in basic training? Do you think it was relevant to what you would need? Were you happy with it at the time? And in retrospect?
I was happy with it. And I've said this, and a lot of people that did the same job as me said that it was a lot of bull.
What do you mean by bull?
Well, how to get down in the line prone position by numbers again. Take one, face forward with your left foot, throw your rifle into your right hand, put your left hand down, lower yourself onto the bottom, shoot both your legs wide apart, out to the back. That was all right for basic training. But later on, it was how quick you could get down the rabbit hole.
So some of it was a bit unrealistic.
I would say yes. But that was the way they did it. It was correct up to a point.
What about, so we're going through the daily routine. What would you do after you'd finish? What time would your day finish? After the afternoon, say, weapons training, what would happen then?
Well, you would finish your day's duties at, I think it was 4:30. Tea was at 5. And then depended on how many mistakes you'd made during the day, whether you got duties after tea as a punishment.
What, individually or as a squad?
Individually. Probably go sent into the coke house to wash up, peel the taties for the next day, something. But in our squad, with us just being there, supplementary reserve, whether it was just the NCO in charge or what, it was very seldom we got a night off. There'd be a kit inspection about 7:30 at night.
Would that be an official kit
inspection? No. The NCO in charge of the barrel room.
Do you remember his name?
Yes. He was a great friend of mine. He became a captain. Stan Allcroft. He was a lance corporal when I joined. And he was very regimental. And he didn't give us any time off. In fact, I can tell you a story that happened. When lights out came, there was no speaking. You were into bed, no speaking. And he caught two lads talking. And he chased them out on the landing. Well, we got up next morning, poor buggers were still there, frozen. He'd fell asleep and forgot all about them. They were still there all night out on the landing. And it used to be a wide staircase, double doors on the bottom, and they were pinned back, you know, because the wind was blowing straight up the staircase. They were frozen the next morning.
What about these?
But I think I'd.
What were they? What exactly were they? They were. What was he inspecting? Would he do a full kit inspection?
Oh, yes.
Half 9 every night?
Aye. And this stopped you going out. You'd maybe get an hour in the canteen.
To what level did he inspect it? How strict was he in the inspection? What did he expect to see?
The same as the CO's kit inspection. Polished studs, blackened boots, or he may just say to, right, I'll inspect the rifles. Oiled. Clean that. And oil it properly. You know, all this. Anything to keep us in. And he used to succeed for Monday to Friday, he used to keep us in.
Did those inspections have any name amongst them?
No.
Just inspection.
He used to come back from tea and we'd all be there, you know, wondering what we're going to do. And he'd say, right, on the bed's making up, ready for inspection, 7:30. So you used to make your armchair bed, you didn't sit down till he'd inspected it. But by then it was too late to get ready to go down the town, you know.
Did you resent it?
We did. In fact, we thought about doing something about it, but we knew we would come off the worst.
What were you thinking of?
Putting him on the landing for the night. But it was hard at the time, but it made you better soldiers, I think. Didn't make any odds to me, because as I say, I was living that far away from home. I had nowhere to go. But some of the lads that lived round about the Newcastle, Jarrah's, House Hills, you know, could get home in a crack. They used to be very annoyed about it.
If you did get out, what you said the canteen or in you, what was the canteen? What did that offer you?
It was a nuffy. Well, just a churn of wood.
No, it wasn't a wet canteen, a beer canteen then?
You could get a one, but you didn't. You were only, you know, 18 then.
Most of them didn't drink then.
You hadn't the money to drink. I mean, your pay then was two bob a day. Four shillings was kept, so you only got 10 shillings. If you wanted to go home, first thing you had to do was buy Brasso soap, yellow dusters, cleaning gear. You didn't have very much. And if you got into debt, you're on five bob a week. And five bob didn't go very far.
So, really, if you did get the chance to go into Newcastle, it really was, you didn't have much to do anyway. If you,
you probably walked down Jesmond Dean and back, seeing if there was out on the on the side. You couldn't afford it them days.
What did you think of the army lifestyle? I mean, it's your first experience of it. The discipline and the lack of privacy. How did it strike you?
Well, at first, I think most of us, first time away for the majority of us anyhow, I suppose we would suffer a bit of homesickness. But by the end of the training, and this may be one of the ideas why our friend used to keep us going at night as well, was so that you didn't get bored and didn't get time to be homesick. And by the end of your training, I never thought about it. You look forward to going on leave, but you also look, at least I did, look forward to going back.
What about recreations in the barrack room? What sort of things would you do to keep yourself amused there?
Well, there was the old ping pong, table tennis, billiard tables.
Were they in the naffy?
No. There was a billiard room. About four tables in, I think it was. Could get a game of cards, providing you didn't pay for money. Such as this. And most of us, I know the first 2 months, were all bloody tired at the end of the day. Used to be in the bed after the inspection.
So you were actually physically tired?
Oh, yes. Because you'd never marched and worked as hard as you did in them days.
How did you get on with your fellow recruits, the 30 of you?
Very well.
Any characters you remember? Or?
Oh, yes, there were quite a few characters. A lad called Campbell came from Jarrah. He had a guitar. We used to have a sing-song every night while our friend Allcroft was out over the corporal's mess. We used to have a bit sing-song and a carry-on. And we used to have a lad next, he slept two beds from me. We used to say he had sleepy sickness. He was that thick, and he could drop asleep standing up. And I always remember when we got our kit, was all stamped by the Lance Corporal in charge with your number. And this lad, I says to him, he'd been in to get his kit stamped. When he came back, I said to him, "You haven't got your laces stamped." He says to me, "Do you have to get them?" So I went to the Shellcroft and says, "You forgot to stamp my laces." I was in the cookhouse for the next hour. But that was And this lad that used to bounce, I got shifted out of the first room into the second room next to this boy that used to bounce up and down. And, he come from Billingham. He was an ice cream vendor. He used to push a cart about with ice cream. And he used to wet the bed. And every morning when we got up, there was a big stain. And they were polished, the floors. We had to get the dry scrubbers out. And because I slept next to him, I had to get the dry scrubber out as well. And that was the thing we did on the night, twice a week. We used to put polish on the floor. Dry scrub it, then polish it, then bumper it. And then this used to take 2 nights.
Was that sort of problem common among the bed wetting?
He was the only one I ever knew. I mean, I've seen men wet the beds, but they've been all drunk in order to get out of bed. They didn't know they'd done it till they got up the next morning. But he, they tried to do something for him, but every night.
Was he passed? Did he stay in the arm? What kind of overall type of men were they? What backgrounds did they generally come from, would you say?
Well, most of them was from working class families. There was a couple, I think, that were middle class. And we did 5 months at...
What about the NCOs, besides Allcroft, Stan Allcroft, what about the other NCOs, the instructors really, what were they like?
They were pretty good, but as I say, their job was to turn us into soldiers. Didn't matter how they did it. On the whole, they weren't too bad. But if you did anything wrong, you got the end of the tongues.
Did you do much wrong?
Well, I did one or two things wrong. Not a lot. But I did one or two things wrong, and I got the end of the tongues.
What about the officers? Did you see much of them?
You didn't see much of the officers. The only time you saw the officers, they would walk around, but they wouldn't interfere. Was if you were on a charge for doing something wrong.
Did you ever get put on a charge at that time?
Not at that time, no. Very few did, but you always got the people that went out on a Saturday night and got tight. Come back and get lobbed inside. Or come back. Instead of being there at 23:59 hours, you were there at 0:01 hours, and then they were on a charge.
Now, how you wanted to be in the tank corps, and that went wrong for you. Could you just explain?
Well, on my 18th birthday, I was sent for to the orderly room, and I went in the in to see the CEO. And said I was now 18. Did I still want to transfer to the tank corps? Because now I was 18. Now was the time to do it. So I said yes. So I said, right, I will send a letter to the tank corps asking if they would accept you, pass out what you like as a soldier up to now, which he did. And about 4 days later, I had to go back to the orderly room. And went in from the CO again. And he said, I am sorry to tell you, you're half an inch too small to go in the tanker. So
how did you feel about that?